Apparat auf Flux FM mit Outlier im Solomon Remix. Bei mir im Studio ist bereits jetzt der Mann, mit dem ich mich in den nächsten Minuten lange unterhalten werde. Sein Name ist Greg Dulli. Hello, Greg.
Hi, Wenton.
How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you today?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you.
Great.
I'm a bit skeptic because I feel too good for a Monday, you know?
Okay, wow.
It's like, something's going wrong maybe later on.
I love Monday because I don't ever go out on weekends. So like Monday is kind of like in California, it's a great day to go out.
There are not too many people on the streets, on the beach.
Well, there's not people on the streets, but also like, you know, there's a couple cool like club nights on Monday for people who, you know, artist types, you know what I mean? Yeah. Don't have straight jobs.
Yeah, that sounds good to me. Now, before I start talking about the very first Greg Dulli solo LP that's going to come out in the February of 2020.
Yes, sir.
Before we start talking about that, let's listen to one of the songs of the last Afghan Whigs LP.
Okay.
That's been put out in 2017.
Yes.
Which was a pleasant surprise.
Right on.
Back then, but then the whole story got to a sad ending, kind of. Is it an ending? Actually, we'll talk about it.
Yeah,
we'll talk about that. Okay. That was just a tease, you know what I'm saying?
Need me.
Yeah, Greg Dulli. Oh, Flux FM, Björn. Demon in Profile, the Afghan Whigs. The Afghan Whigs mit Demon in Profile, veröffentlicht im Jahr 2017 von der Band, die Greg Dulli, mein Gast, bereits 1986 gründete. Greg Dulli hat im weiteren Verlauf seiner Karriere auch die Götter Twins erfunden, zusammen mit Mark Lanegan. Er hat die Twilight Singers hier ins Programm gehievt. Die sind regelmäßig gespielt worden auf Flux FM. Und nun fürs Jahr 2020 ist seine erste Solo-LP unter eigenem Namen angekündigt. Greg Dullis Random Desire. Das könnte man übersetzen mit zufälliges Verlangen oder wahllose Begierde. Dieses Album erscheint am 21.02.2020 und Ende März dann wird er nochmal nach Berlin kommen, um im Lido zu spielen. Bereits jetzt ist er für die Promoreise bei mir im Studio und wir quatschen ein bisschen über die Vor- und Nachteile des gemeinsamen Komponierens. Wir sprechen über phonetisch getextete Lyrics und über die Wichtigkeit einer sich ständig ändernden Soundphilosophie für eine lange Karriere. First of all, aber nochmal hello and welcome, Greg.
Hi, Wenton.
Hey. I've just talked about the fact that we have played so many of your projects. We're in love with so many of your bands. And I asked myself, when I was looking back at your discography and all the stuff that you've done, I was thinking, maybe it's like super important to change your sound philosophy a little bit for every project that you start to keep lasting that long. Because, I mean, when I was listening to your new music, which we'll do in a few moments, there's still a certain energy, there's a sparks of creativity happening. And I listen to so many bands that have been around for decades now, and you go like, well, maybe it's time for them to stop and do something different.
Wow.
You know, because it's like the same
stuff
over and over.
Yeah.
But when I was looking at your stuff, you've always tried to get into new directions. How important was that for the long career that you're having?
Well, very important. You know, I mean, I've kind of had to do these things. Like the Whigs broke up. I started the Twilight Singers. My friendship with Mark Lanegan began. You know, we started the Gutter Twins.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Whigs got back together again. So it's been, you know, it's been kind of a roller coaster of a life, and you know, but roller coasters are exciting. So
yeah,
there you go.
And I think you were kind of like ahead of the times when you decided to just go for whatever you wanted, because when you started making music, there still were record executives who were like, yeah, but if you re-record a song that kind of sounds like the hit that you've had last year, we can build up our international career. And the funny thing is, those things really happen sometimes.
Right, sure.
You know?
Yeah.
It was like, yeah, I've re-recorded the same thing over and over like 12 times. It was a huge hit 12 times in a row. I'm a millionaire now and I can lay back. But you kind of like, you sense that there will be a time when it doesn't matter anymore, maybe.
Maybe.
Where you could just go for whatever you wanted, right?
I became a millionaire by robbing banks anyway.
And that's the old school way.
Yeah, sure.
I still dig the old school way of becoming a millionaire. Now, we've mentioned Mark Lanegan as well. You've worked with him for many, many, many songs. Mm-hmm. And I think he might be a great partner in crime when it comes to making music. Absolutely. But it must be freeing right now to be able to do stuff on your own again, isn't it?
Well, this is my first solo record. Mm-hmm. So I was able to kind of start from scratch. I had Christopher Thorne, the co-producer that I had. He has a little place out in Joshua Tree, beautiful little studio, so amazing. And we just, you know, together started building the songs from scratch, and it came pretty quickly. Like, I mean, this record was written in 6 months.
All right, cool.
So, you know, it has, because of that, I think, short amount of time, it has an immediacy to it, and an interesting cohesion that, you know, if I would have dragged it along for 2 years, it might not have sounded so fresh.
Yeah. So you still do like to collaborate with other musicians when it comes to composing the music?
I wrote all of these songs myself. Christopher was the engineer.
Yeah.
He you know, he listened to me and, you know, but they're all my songs. I'm the songwriter.
I read an interview with Mark, funny enough, about co-writing with others, and he was like, it's a double-edged sword, because sometimes you get to great results, but it kind of sucks when you meet someone after you've put out a co-written record, and you meet someone and they go like, this is the best record that you've ever recorded. It's the first record that includes music that's not yours.
Right.
He told something like that.
Oh, that's right, because he worked with those English guys.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
They had a big hit.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's true. And it must be kind of confusing too.
Yeah.
But I mean, if it's still fun. Another thing that I find interesting is that you do seem to like working with phonetics when it comes to writing lyrics. So you write the music first, then you get into the studio, and I imagine you to be like, oh, when I listen to that E minor chord, I can sense that a word with an A might sound better than...
No, it's not like that at all.
Okay.
Actually, it's I come up with a riff, and then I scat a melody on top of it. That's where the phonetics come from.
Ah, okay.
And then I listen to that, and I fit the words and sounds into those sounds.
Okay, cool. And that's...
I'm not smart enough to hear a chord and say, oh, that sounds like an E. I'd be some kind of...
No, you're even smarter than that, because it happens in your head automatically,
sure,
man.
There you go.
I mean, you don't even have to think about it, Greg. You're doing it... Your head's doing it on its own. No, but I really think it's interesting, because so many people, they're writing lyrics that are beautiful, and then they're trying to force it into a melody, and I always feel that I can sense that, then I'm like, oh, it's like a syllable too many for that.
To me, the melody comes first,
yeah,
and then you fit the words into the melody, and then you have instant beauty.
Yeah. Let's listen to a song that we're going to, I think it's going to be a world premiere if we play Lockless on here.
Yes.
Yeah. Somebody allowed us. Right. Don't look at me like that.
No, I'm not looking. They told me you were going to play it. I said it was okay.
Okay,
I'm cool. I'm excited.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, okay.
But this is a song about, I think, the benefits of being alone when one's thinking of music, right?
Sure.
Let's talk about that maybe after we've listened to it. Lockless, Greg Dilley of Flux FM. What a lovely song. Greg Dilley of Flux FM mit Lockless. So many genres kind of blend into each other when I was listening to that song. There's a bit of talking headish pop music, rock vibe, and there's hip hop. At the end, there's a little jazz and a little bit of, I don't know, Spanish kind of music, I think.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, lovely combination, man.
Thank you very much.
And I think you've just mentioned the fact that there's a certain roughness on the record because it's been done pretty fast.
Yes.
And when I'm listening to that mix, I was like, yeah, because one could kind of finalize that track for months from now on still.
Sure.
To get that super edgy, crisp sound into it. But I love the fact that the horns seem to be a little too loud and stuff. That's something I love. Yeah. That's why I love Elbow, for example.
Oh, cool.
Because they sometimes put in signals
Right.
Or they leave signals in a loudness that is actually wrong.
Right.
But I love wrongs.
There is no wrong there's in rock
no,
and roll.
No, man. Totally true.
There is no wrong. There's no rules.
No. Yeah. And if, I mean, as you know that people are saying you have to learn the rules before you break them, but it doesn't count in rock and roll. Yeah. You can break them before knowing them.
Yes.
That's. But I think it's the only form of art that you can do that in. Maybe worth a discussion, but
sure.
Let's talk about the title of the album, Random Desire.
Okay, before we do that, what you said something
in German.
No, you said something godless.
I said it sounds like a title for a gospel record for godless people.
Yeah,
you know, because yeah. I love the.
I like that.
Yeah, gospel for the godless.
Gospel for the godless. Yeah, yeah.
No, that's something. Because and I read that title and was like, yeah, Random Desire. Okay, I can get that, but I feel something. I mean, to random is like the opposite of coincidence is the opposite of fate, right? That's
sure.
what the old Greek people were saying.
Right.
So fate is something that has been steered by God.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
You tumble through life, and then there's something new happening, and it's God giving you the chance to change something. The other side of the spectrum is the coincidence. It has nothing to do with God. Mm-hmm. It's just coincidences.
Well,
things are happening randomly.
Well, you've heard of the chaos theory.
Yes.
So say you would like dropped some water on a glass. You could never predict where it was going to go.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it would go left. Sometimes it would go right.
Yeah.
Random has a chance variety to it. And I like chance. I like when it's not all figured out. What's going to happen? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know?
But there's one, I mean, I get the note that Greg Dooley is coming for a visit. So I do a little bit of research. And then one of those things that I found out about you today, I didn't know before, was that you were kind of like brought up in a Catholic household. So you did believe in God for like a certain amount of time. And when you grew up, you kind of like doubted the whole thing. And that's something that mirrors back to me when I was listening, when I was reading uh-huh. the title, I was like, ah, oh, interesting. There's
right.
this guy, had this religious upbringing. When he grew up, he kind of started thinking for himself, maybe,
right.
I don't know.
I was 13 when I left the church.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was just something, it didn't add up to me. I have no, you know, people believe what they like, and I certainly don't, you know,
yeah.
tell anyone what to think. It's just my own personal view.
Yeah. I mean, when one's looking, I mean, the United States, they're in a complicated situation right now, right?
That's an understatement.
But
thank you for saying
that. No. And I'm laughing right now, but I'm a bit scared actually. But what really scares me is when Donald Trump visits or meets up with his religious people, you know, the ultra, I don't know,
right.
What the evangelists or what they're called?
Evangelical Christians.
Yeah. And they're surrounding him, right? And they're supporting him. And they have speakers speaking for him. And then they pray with each other. And that's
right.
These are moments that really scare me.
Donald Trump doesn't believe in God, Winton. He believes in money.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
But he knows that.
He knows how to manipulate people. You know what I mean? Like, that guy's never been to church with a straight face in his life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But he knows that he could get more votes when he pretends to be
sure.
a believer. That's totally true, yeah. You've produced some Italian bands as well in the last few years, and you've always been looking out for very different genres and artists and stuff. Now I think it's the time for you to just promote your solo album, and you're going to be touring that. But
right.
Do you have plans for producing other artists as well? Is that something that you're looking forward to?
I am. I have the label gave me an imprint to I have an imprint called Royal Cream.
Okay.
This record is the first release on it. But I mean I'm going to sign a couple artists and produce them and you know, get them around a little bit.
Cool.
Yeah.
And I mean, there were so many good reasons for you to go for a solo LP, but there were a few sad reasons, I think, which is the death of Mr. Rosser, who worked with the Afghan Whigs.
Yes. Dave was in Twilight Singers, Gutter Twins, and Afghan Whigs. One of the best friends I will ever have.
Yeah.
He
passed away 2 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, man.
Thank you.
Yeah. And so he was one of the sad reasons for you to go into the solo direction.
Well, the very simple reason that I did a solo record was Patrick was going to do a Raconteurs record with Jack and everyone. John Curley went back to college to study archaeology.
Okay.
John Skibbick and his wife had a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Rick Nelson was building a studio. I literally was the only one without something to do. And so, I did it because I wanted something to do.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to ask is there going to be like another Afghan Whigs record? Because
so,
the 2017
so.
One, I think people were really happy to have you guys back.
Yeah.
And the sound was fresh, as I told you.
Yeah.
So you're going to...
Absolutely.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I love those boys. And
yeah.
we're I hope we are.
Yeah.
But not this year.
No, this year. I think you're going to promote the record for a few more weeks, and then you're going to go back to the U.S. and do the Christmas thing, although you're not a believer.
I believe in having fun.
Yeah.
So I'll do that. You know, Satan loves Christmas too.
Hail Satan! That's what they always play at Greg Dooley's Christmas party. So I want to thank you for coming, for stepping by.
Thank you.
And I really want to meet you again when you come back for the concert, maybe at the end of March.
Yeah.
You're going to play at Lido. And we're already giving away tickets for that show, I think. Are we? Yes, we are. Mila is waving at me, which means that we're already giving away tickets for those avant-garde people who know what to do in March of 2020.
All right.
Die Nummer zum Glück lautet 030-2000-9000. Berlin 2000-9000, das ist die Nummer zum Glück. Wer durchkommt, der steht heute schon auf der Liste fürs großartige Konzert von Greg Dooley im Lido am 31.03.2020. Dann wird Random Desire schon einen Monat ungefähr draußen sein, das Soloalbum des Mannes von den Gutter Twins, von den Twilight Singers und von den Afghan Whigs. Greg Dooley war bei mir im Studio und zum Abschluss spiele ich sein Stückchen Pantomima eigentlich nochmal hier auf Flux FM. Thanks for visiting, Greg.
Thank you, Winton.
All the best of luck for the record and for all the rest. As soon as you think of something that we might help you with, just contact us.
Okay, cool.
Cool. Thank you, Greg. Bye-bye.